Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
It's good to see you all tonight. You're supposed to say it's good to be seen. Amen. Eliminating hurry from our heart. This has been a theme for about 12 weeks or so that the Lord's been dealing with personally me on, so I thought I'd let you come to my therapy session as we talk this out, because I think we all need a little help in this area. I don't think I'm the only one, but I've been amazed. I told my son Andrew, by the way, came home yesterday from the hospital. Yes. That's a miracle. They were anticipating him having to have dialysis for probably a year, and they pulled the port out and said, "You don't need dialysis anymore."
Hallelujah.
That is, that's the Lord. We have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. He's still weak and very unstable, has to use a cane to walk around on and stuff like that, but he's coming along. So thank you for your prayers. We are so thankful for you, and so many of you have written us cards and letters and prayed for us, and we can't thank you enough. It's really awesome. So we're going to see the great things that God has prepared. You're part of it. Praise God. Amen. I never realized hurry was a real problem for me till I got a speeding ticket. It's not that funny, Katie. And I was speeding for no reason. I didn't need to get anywhere in a hurry. I just wasn't paying attention. And I liked just going faster than I needed to go. So I want to share with you. I shared with my son today. I said, "Andrew," I said, "I'm preparing a message for tonight, but it's something I want you to get as a truth that I think will help you now. I wished I had known it when I was 40 years old, but how important it is to eliminate hurry from your life, because I've been a hurry addict most of my life and didn't know it. I didn't realize it was such a problem, but you can't really walk with Jesus and be in a hurry. That's my experience. So I shared that with Andrew. This is a very important truth. This is much deeper than I even can realize, but God wants to eliminate hurry from our life, and it's an addiction that we catch it from the world. And then we start running the pace of the world. And so there's some truths just lately. I want to point out three things tonight that you can carry home with you in your mind. This is going to be easy. It's going to like put it in a bag and take it home with you tonight. It's going to be easy to remember. And hopefully the Holy Spirit's going to remind you throughout the week when you're in a hurry, and he really wants you to slow down and enjoy the moment. Because there's something in the moment that you're going to miss if you're in a hurry. And so here's some truths that I think is going to help you, and some truths that God's reminded me of lately, and you've heard this already in sermons. God has a plan. We all say, yeah, we know that. Jeremiah 29:11, God does have a plan. He has a plan for your life. Before you were born, before you were created, God has a plan. And here's the problem, though. I don't know fully what that plan is. We only get to know in fragments. I know in part. You know, I may get a prophetic word, or I may get a revelation from Scripture, or some indication that God wants me to do this or that, but I don't know the whole plan. And we're not supposed to know the whole plan. Because the danger is, if we knew the whole plan, we'd run off and try to do it. I know the plan, so let's just get it done. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. And we're going to break this down so you can understand. The reason God gives you fragments is because he wants something else from you. He doesn't need you to do anything for him. He's got angels that do those things. but he wants to do something with you. He wants to unfold this plan. Do you know Abraham, for example? Abraham was given a little fragment of prophecy, and he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a multitude. Took him out on the sand of the seashore probably and said, look at the sand. You know, can you count that? No. Look up at the stars. Can you count them? No. You're going to have a family that's larger than that. Abraham was so excited. He's got a word, a promise from God, what he's going to do. But what he didn't know was he didn't know when, how, or the details. Great. God's going to make a family out of me, a multitude of people. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know the details. You're not supposed to know the details. Because again, you'd run off and try to accomplish it. But he had a promise. He had a fragment. Okay. And so, okay, God, I've got this promise. I'm ready. I'm excited. The next day, no change. The next day, no change. The next month, no change. The next year, no change. 25 years before he saw any real significant change, Isaac was born. Oh, can I answer that for you? Gee, I'm good at that, Mike. You know that. All right, so how is the plan unveiled to Abraham? The same way it's unveiled to you. One day at a time. And you can't hurry God. You can't make him give you more information. The rest of your life, the plan that God has for you is going to be revealed. Come on, say it.
One day at a time.
Okay, one day at a time. Okay, why? Because you try to get it all done. Okay, so the question is, how will God reveal his plan for his life? How will God reveal his plan for this church? Anybody know? Say no, Pastor. Teach us. Teach us. Okay. James 2:23. Here's a little insight. Here's how God reveals things. Abraham believed God, and it was counted into him for righteousness, and he was called the what? What did God want from Abraham? Friendship. Friends reveal things to friends. God wanted friendship. He wanted Abraham to walk with him and talk with him for the rest of his life. And through a little bit here, a little bit there, through their friendship, through their intimacy, God would reveal things. See, God's going to reveal his plan for you and for me, their next steps and your next assignments and the plans for the church, if we are a friend of God. If we hang out together, if we have intimacy, if we talk and we walk and we enjoy life together. Are you with me? See, God reveals things to friends that he will not reveal to others. You need to be a friend. It's obvious to all of us that some people are closer to God than others. Why? Everybody's extended the same invitation. It's friendship. They want to. You're as close to God as you want to be right now. If you draw near to God, he says he'll draw near to you. So it's up to you. God wants friendship with you. So here's some steps to friendship. What do we do to make friends or to have a friendship with someone? With God especially, we need to have a conversation with God. Do you talk to God? Do you listen to God? I don't mean just formal prayers. Do you have a conversation with God? Even though you don't see him, do you talk to God that you can't see? Anybody here?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Meditation with God about what he's showing you. He gives you a dream or gives you a fragment of information. Do you talk to God about that? Like, God, tell me more. Or what should I do with this or whatever? It's meditation about what he's showing you. Meditation from scripture he's showing you. Number three, honesty. Friends are just honest with it. A real friend you can be honest with. It's a safe place. God, I struggle with this. God, I have an issue with this. God, God already knows it anyway. But being honest with God is really part of being a friend to God. Value what he values. Find out what's valuable to God. People are valuable to God. Especially throwaway people. What I mean by throwaway people, the people the world throws away, the people that the world says they'll never amount to anything, the people that the world calls bums or whatever, homeless or whatever, those are people God really values. I found that out. I've gained a lot of wisdom from talking to what we would call throwaway people. A lot of wisdom. They seem to have a lot of time with God. They hear God pretty good, many of them. And then obey what God tells you to do. So if you want a friendship with God, this is what you have to do. You get to determine the level of friendship you have with God. Anybody want to be a friend of God? Well, you're on the right track. Guess what? He's going to reveal to you when you need to know the next step. What do I need to do about this, God? What's my next assignment? A second truth, and I shared this with my son today. I said how important this is for us to not the second truth, but the first truth is, okay, let's nail this down. And you can say this and take this home with you, okay? God has a plan for my life. I want you to say that. God has a plan. And here's what you've got so far. He reveals parts of it through my friendship with him on a day-by-day basis. Maybe it's a scripture. Maybe it's a prophecy you get. Maybe it's a dream you have, a riddle, parable. Why does God sometimes speak to us in a parable? Or he gives us a dream that is really weird, but we know it's a God dream. And God speaks to us through a dream and uses strange objects or animals or people or other things in our dream to speak. Why does God use these things, riddles, parables, and things? Why didn't he just talk to us straight? Why does he use parables? You do know, to make you slow down because you think too fast. And when you hear a parable, you've got to slow down. When you hear a riddle, you have to slow down. Remember Samson in the Bible? And he was appointed to be a judge of Israel, but he wasn't really walking with God. He was kind of a hippie judge, I'm going to do my own thing. And he went into a land to find himself a wife of a people, Philistine people, that he was not to intermarry with, but he was going to do it anyway. And so he's disregarding the leadership of the Lord, and he's going to go find him a wife. And so on his way to go find him a wife, you know what happens? A lion jumps out in the road, attacks him. He kills a lion with his bare hands because he has an anointing for supernatural strength. He kills a lion, carcass laying on the road, goes on his way, finds him a Philistine wife. About 3 or 4 days later, he comes back along the same road. He looks over there. There's the lion carcass. But this time, what really stopped him is he stopped and looked. There's something in this that I'm supposed to get out of this. He sees a lion carcass, and inside the lion, decaying carcass of the lion that he killed, there's honeybees flying around. And they're creating honey inside this carcass of a lion that attacked him. And he thinks on it. He said, wait a minute, somehow, I don't know exactly what, but somehow God is talking to me through this enigma or this lion carcass. And he meditates on it and he thinks about it. And then comes this big wedding day and he challenges the guys there. He says, if you can answer this riddle for me, a riddle, I will give you so many changes of clothes, but if you can't answer it, then you guys owe me all these changes of clothes. And do you remember the riddle? Say, no, Pastor, we don't. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the eater came something sweet. What was it? Of course, we know it was the lion carcass. But the men had some time and they wore down Delilah to make her tell them the answer to that riddle. And of course, he realized, you've been plowing with my heifer. You can read the story. It's in the Bible. But through a riddle, this is in the Bible. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the eater came something sweet. What was it? And they said, oh, we know, because they got it out of Delilah. It was honey out of a lion carcass. What's stronger than what's a better eater than a lion? It must be a lion. They pretended like they really didn't know. And what's sweet? It must be honey. But there's a teaching in this. It goes much deeper. God was speaking through this event that something that attacks you, a lion, we would recognize would be like a satanic attack. God can turn it around with the anointing and make something sweet come out of it. Honey is a symbol of revelation in the Bible. When Jonathan, who was Saul's son, remember when Saul called a great big fast and said nobody's supposed to eat until such and such a time, and Jonathan didn't hear about it, and he went over and he dipped his little staff in some honey and touched his tongue, it says it lit up his eyes. It's all speaking spiritually about it. He got revelation, insight. Honey is a symbol of revelation. So in all this strange language, riddles and parables, God is speaking a different language. But you have to be a friend to understand what he's talking about. Are you understanding? So God has a plan for our life, and he'll reveal parts of it to us. Scriptures, prophecies, dreams, riddles, parables, to make you slow down and think. The American mind goes 90 miles an hour. In the Middle Eastern mind, they slow down and they think more about what they're thinking about. We just want to know the answer. But the Middle Eastern mind wants to know the revelation, the insight. So we need to slow down. Now, if God told you everything about his plan for your life, you'd run off without him and you'd try to do it. That's not what he wants. He wants friendship with you. God has a plan for your life. Number two, God not only has a plan for your life, God has a pace for your life. It's much slower than you and I have been going. He has a pace. And when we're in a hurry, we notice most accidents, car accidents, happen when somebody's in a hurry. Most of my personal mistakes and bad things that happen in my life have happened most of the time when I'm in a hurry. God has a pace for us. And I have the phrase up there written by, or spoken by Dallas Willard. He said to the mega pastor who was asking, what is the great lesson that you would share with me so I can have a successful life? And of all the things Dallas Willard could have said to him, he said, this is the thing I would say is the most important thing for you to be successful in God's eyes and have a successful life, and that is to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And the pastor said, great, okay, I wrote that down. Now what else? And the guy said, there is nothing else. You do that. God has a pace for us. I've experienced this today. It's amazing to me. There are things that I have on my schedule, things I need to get done, or I think I need to get done in a certain time. And then there are other things that happen suddenly, and I realize it's a divine interruption. That I don't need to be in a hurry. I need to slow down. And maybe I don't need to do all the things that are on my to-do list today. Maybe I just need to do the one, two things that are on God's to-do list for me today. We had some friends that showed up spontaneously, didn't know they were coming. They showed up and I had an appointment at 3:00. I got a phone appointment. I need to take this phone appointment to talk with somebody. But these people showed up and I felt like God was saying, spend time with them. They came by to see you. You need to take time with them. Jesus wouldn't say to you if you showed up all of a sudden, he wouldn't say, thanks, Joe. I've got an appointment. I'll catch you later. Would he? He would take time with you. And so we had a wonderful visit. And later on, I got to have a meeting, this phone meeting, and everything just fell into place. But it wouldn't have if I'd have stayed in a hurry. My agenda, God's agenda. Look at this. Look at what Jesus said. Look at his pace. His pace is always amazing to me. Jesus said these words, some of my favorite words. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now say the next part with me in the yellow. Say it with me.
Take
it, my yoke. A yoke is this picture you see up on the screen. Now, this is a double yoke. It's meant to connect two animals together so they can work. So Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. But now he's saying, take my yoke upon you because we're going to work. Work, rest, which one is it? Yes. The answer is yes. We're going to work. We're going to rest. We're going to rest. We're going to work. But this double yoke is I get in with him, he gets in with me. And I have to go now at his pace. And I have to go where he says, go. Are you understanding? It's a pace that he calls you. God has a plan for your life. God has a pace for your life. And it's not hurry. So two can get more done than one. Two are stronger than one. So when you're yoked together with Jesus, take my yoke upon you. You got to take it on you. You fall into step with him at his pace. And every day there's a different pace. Every day there might be somebody that God wants you to spend some time with. A stranger, a suddenly, an unexpected appointment or whatever. But when you work from a place of rest because Jesus has a pace for my life and I'm yoked when I'm yoked with him. Thinking of this just helps me eliminate hurry. In my driving, I drive the speed limit or less. Many times I get over in the slow lane and drive 5 miles an hour or less slower just to do it. Not to aggravate people behind me. I'm in the slow lane. I don't think you should be over in a fast lane and be going slow. I think you need to, you know, respect other people and so forth if they want to get around you. But what I'm saying is it's just the slowing down just takes the stress out. God has a plan for my life. Do I really believe that? God has a pace for my life. Do I really believe that? Look at this. This life is called a race in the Bible. But it's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's how long can you last, not how fast can you go. Look at this in Hebrews 12 in the Passion Translation. It says this. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Anybody got any wounds besides me? Okay. He's telling you what to do. We must let go of every wound that's pierced us and the sin, and the sin is doubt and unbelief that we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? Then do you believe God has a pace for your life? Now do this. I didn't see anybody do that. These are things you're going to take home with you tonight. About midnight tonight or 3:33 in the morning, which I often wake up to, you're going to wake up and the Holy Spirit's going to say, okay, what's that? What was that 3-point sermon there that you heard this teaching tonight? See, God has a what for my life? God has a what now for my number two? Yeah. And number three, God has a peace for my life. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, now the King James I memorized years ago, but I love it out of the Passion Translation because it says it a little bit differently. Look at this. instead of being, don't be anxious for anything, it says don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Is that possible? Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. We ought to be very grateful children. That's why I come in here Wednesday nights and say, hey, lift your hands and give God thanks. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Just be thankful. Just practice thankfulness. We got so many things we take for granted. That's what I was telling my son today. Is I have to help him walk. I have to help him get out of a chair. He has to use a cane. I have to help him to the bathroom. I have to help him to sit down on the toilet. I have to help him to get up. He may not appreciate me telling you all that, but so don't say you know anything. But I said, you know, isn't it interesting, Andrew, how we take for granted walking, balance, strength to be able to get up, to be able to feed yourself. We take things for granted. We need to be grateful children. We've got a lot to be grateful for. Look at this, Romans 12:2. We're almost done here. Look at this. This is powerful. Out of the Passion Translation again, it says, stop imitating the ideals and the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a what? A total? How you think. Goes back to the Middle Eastern way. They slow down, they meditate, they think, they chew on, they go back over and over and over again. Americans, we think like this. In Jesus' day, and you don't go, you're right here. You're right here. You chew on it. You think about, you slow down. You don't be so quick on the lip to give your opinion. You slow down. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And be slow to become angry or react. James 1:19. But here it's saying God wants a total transformation of how I think. Bruce thinks differently from me. He was trained as a physician. And as a physician, you have to be trained how to think a certain way, how to diagnose things, how to think differently. You think through processes and all those kind of things. You think differently. God thinks differently. God wants to change how I think. He wants to rewire. Not everything, but just rewire how it's working, how it's processing. Because we don't think like he thinks. The following scripture, you've heard many times before, but you may not realize it. It's a rebuke. And the scripture is this. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. It's a rebuke because your thoughts ought to be in agreement with God's thoughts. A friend thinks like a friend. And this is a rebuke, God saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher, and my thoughts are higher than yours. It's a rebuke. God's saying, you need to get on the same page with me. So that for that to happen, you have to believe God has a plan for my life, God has a pace for my life, and God has peace for my life. That's his peace. When I get in alignment with him and begin to think the way God thinks. Let me read you something out of the Passion Translation, out of my Bible. It won't be on the screen. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's get in a boat and go across the other side of the lake. So they set sail and soon Jesus fell asleep. But a fierce wind arose and became a violent squall that threatened to swamp their boat. Alarmed, the disciples woke Jesus up and said, Master, Master, we're sinking. Don't you care we're going to drown? With great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and the surging waves, and instantly they became calm. And then Jesus said to them these words up on the screen. Every time I get anxious or worried, after reading this, I hear those words. The Spirit of God saying, "Why are you fearful, Gary? Have you lost your faith in me? We're not to be worried about anything." But I still worry. We're not to be fearful of anything, but I still get fearful. I'm still insecure. And it's Jesus saying, "Have you lost your faith in me?" And they were shocked. The disciples were shocked. And to their amazement, Jesus calmed the storm instantly. Can you imagine? This is just like a hurricane. And instantly, Jesus says, "Peace be still." And the lake went flat. The wind ceased. That'll get your attention. And you know what they said? They said these words. And this is very revealing. They said, "Who is this man who has the authority over the winds and waves that they obey him?" See, they didn't know him very well. Who is this man who has this power, this authority? They didn't know him very well. They must not have been his friends yet. Because a friend would have known that. A friend would have said, "He does this all the time. I don't worry anymore. I don't panic anymore. I don't get upset anymore. I slow down. I'm always going to be amazed at what he's going to do because it's always going to be good. And I just don't get upset anymore." So, this week, I've said this phrase to you for 2 weeks in a row. We'll say it to you a third week in a row. Holy Spirit's going to remind you. You have enough time every day to graciously do whatever God wants you to do. You have enough time to do graciously everything God wants you to do today and tomorrow. And if you'll remind yourself of that, you won't get in a hurry. "I'm late for this appointment." Sometimes you have to hurry because, hey, there's an emergency or a baby's being born or something like that. But not most of the time. If it's a time management problem, "I'm going to be late." Hey, I'll call them up. "I'm sorry. I'm just going to be late. I didn't manage my time well." You don't have to speed. You don't have to hurry. But you can if you want to. But God is dealing with me, and I think he's dealing with you because he's allowing me to speak this into your life. He wants you to eliminate hurry from your heart. See, it's in here first. And you have to remember three things, and I've drilled it into you tonight. So you got the package. You ready? You have to remember these three things. Number one, say it with me. Number two. And number three, it's the peace that he carries all the time. You have a peace anointing. You ought to be able to walk into any situation in just the presence of the Lord inside you, this peace anointing. You'll be able to just touch somebody and it just calms their storm. It just calms. And my hands are cold. It just calms their storm. It just calms their storm. It just calms them. It just calms them. That's a peace anointing. God gave it to you to go out into this world and make a difference and let people see what Jesus looks like and acts like. He's never in a hurry. He's got time for people. He's never in a panic. Isn't that awesome? Let's stand up and give God thanks. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. You have a plan for my life. Thank you, God. You have a pace.
Yes.
I want to be in rhythm with you. And God, you have a peace for my life. Thank you. I thank you. I thank you to help us to remember these things and apply them, Holy Spirit, this week in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brenda. Brenda and Brenda are joining us tonight and helping us. Thank you so much. And thank you, Kathy, for worship. Before you leave, don't be in a hurry. Take some time and make a new friend. Amen.